Let's just keep doing both. Book of Acts, chapter number 1, and we'll begin in verse 1. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Heavenly Father, we've already been so blessed. And so, Lord, here we're going to bring a little Bible. And Lord, we're going to bring a truth that we know, we've been taught, but it sure is good to not only relearn it and be reminded of it, but see it so beautifully illustrated before us tonight. And so, Lord, keep our hearts always tender, Lord, to what you asked us to do, what you commanded us to do, our last marching orders. And Lord, this is a big world. There's a lot of people in it. And yet, Lord, you commissioned us to get the gospel to them. So, Lord, I pray that you would do what you wish to do tonight with the remainder of this service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks, for standing. You can be seated. I have for several years now emphasized Acts 1:8 when we come to breaking down our missions program. I think the most important word in Acts 1:8 is the word both. And of course, we can't do it on our own. This is one of the things that we're reminded of in Acts 1:8 is that, folks, if we go out there and try to do this whole thing of evangelism and reaching the world for Christ through our own strength and power, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. And you can put a whole lot of human effort into something and not see anything come out of it, or you can stop and realize how dependent we need to be upon the Holy Spirit and the power that's available through him. And so once we seek that power, and once that power has come upon us, the Bible says, then go out and be witnesses unto me. And folks, the story we have to tell is the story about Jesus. The gospel still means good news. And there is no greater story that you can share or tell than that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. That is all of our hope. Without that, we are of most all men most miserable. There would be no reason to have church. There'd be no reason to attempt to live the Christian life if we didn't have the gospel and the gospel story. And so we want to remember we're to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Now, the word both then. And folks, we've been doing both for some time. And I guess I want to just say thank you for being willing to do both. For being willing to reach our Jerusalem. And then also to have a heart and to grow a heart for our Judea. And I don't know if that was historically always here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but I can tell you this, I think in the last couple decades, God's grown that in our heart. And then Samaria and unto the uttermost. Now, you know, I've taught this before. This isn't new for Blessed Hope Baptist Church people, but folks, we need to hear some things over and over again. Hey, let's keep doing both. You know, I thought about this. We've kind of defined it for our church, okay? And people might break things down differently, but I think it helps this preacher. If I'm going to have an impact on my Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost, what does that mean for us? And so, you know, our Jerusalem, we've defined very specifically. If you go down this far aisle and get into that little open area, you can look on the wall and you'll see a map that clearly defines our Jerusalem. And folks, my heart's desire is that we on a regular basis carry the gospel to every single door in our Jerusalem. And we can't control what people do with it after that, but we can make sure that they at least have the opportunity to receive it. And then to be able to start a bus ministry so that we can go to any of those areas and say, oh, by the way, if you don't have a ride to church, we can get you a ride to church. Or if you're too busy to come yourself, but you'd let the kids come, hey, we'll come and get them. We'll come and get them. That's pretty exciting. It's exciting to be a part of church. Our Jerusalem is our responsibility. We have some sister churches that are within that Jerusalem. And by the way, I thank God for every single one of them. I thank God for everyone that has outreach. But you know what I always say? You know what? I just tackle our Jerusalem as if we're the only ones, and whatever they do extra will be a blessing. But hey, let's not just assume that all of it's going to be reached because we have other churches. Let's just all of the churches decide to reach all of it. And I think that's a good plan to make sure that we don't miss out. And then our Judea, folks, I've got a burden for Southern Indiana. And I say that, and I always kid a little bit about it, especially when I'm away from here. I'll say, now, we are trying to plant churches, and we're trying to reach Southern Indiana. And I said, I really don't care about Northern Indiana. We're misplaced Southern people in Southern Indiana. And if you really study it, Southern Indiana was settled from North Carolina to Kentucky and across there. So all we are is a bunch of rednecks and hillbillies down here. And then Northern Indiana was, you know, from New England and across New York and settled that direction. So we don't understand how they talk. It's a foreign language up there. We don't understand how they think. But man, when it comes to Southern Indiana, say, well, what about those people? Well, let the churches up in Northern Indiana reach them, you know. I can't do everything. Come on now, you know. And but we've kind of prayed over the years. And we've been able to plant a few churches in Southern Indiana. We've got a desire to plant some more. And you know what, folks? I want to take ownership of that. When God said, I want you to do both, he meant both. And so many churches are very Jerusalem-centered, and that's fine. They should be. It's listed first. That's okay. You ought to have a burden for your area. And then sometimes they jump all the way to the end of it. And unto the uttermost, they've got a strong missions program. But it was a good day when God opened my eyes to the responsibility we have to the folks that are in our general area, outside of our Jerusalem. How are we going to reach them? Hey, let's figure out the churches that are out there. And by the way, this preacher has. And let's reach out to those preachers and be an encouragement to them. Let's send some soul winners if they need some soul winning help. Let's send some money if they need a little boost. Let's pray for them. Let's not let somebody in some small town, bivocational pastor, beating his head against the wall. Let's not let him feel like he's by himself. And you know the Judea projects that we've done to identify the areas that have no church or no gospel outreach at all. And I think very, very carefully we've selected the areas so that we're not building in somebody else's backyard and we're reaching people that had no gospel witness. And I love that. I mean that. I love it. And so we have our Judea. And then we have our Samaria. And folks, again, this is kind of me building it out. But I've got a burden for America. Hey, we can't, you know, decide to reach the rest of the world and let the home country, come on, we can't let the home ship sink. And America is fast becoming a mission field. I'll never forget going to the Philippines and meeting young Filipino couples who were raising support to come to America as missionaries. Now, just stop and let that sink in. I know I've said it before, but and to think to myself, is that where America's at right now, where we need countries like the Philippines? And by the way, God's doing a work in the Philippines. There's some book of Acts type stuff happening in the Philippines. And you know what? They're just not trying to shake their country for Jesus. They love America. They're thankful for America and what we did for them. And now they want to come to help our country by sending missionaries. And so here we have it represented tonight. You know, here's somebody that we voted to support already that's going to plant the church here in the United States of America. And I thank you for giving those details. I didn't realize that the length of time that they'd been without a pastor and then their decision to shut down. And then, thank God, I'm going to have to learn more about this ministry. Thank God that there's a ministry out there that's being aware of these things and securing these properties. How about that? And then praying for young preachers and reinserting men into these communities. Come on, the right kind of Baptist preachers with the right kind of training and the right kind of emphasis. And I'm excited about that. We listen, America has a need. I mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, traveling back home and trying to figure out a path through Minnesota and where I could stop to go to church in Iowa. And I wish I could tell you that that was an anomaly. It just happened to be where I was going. But you go to any state in the United States of America, and we need to plant churches, you know. I keep saying this. We need 10,000 young men across our country that would surrender to preach and surrender to plant churches wherever. In Brazil, it's fine. I don't care if it's Brazil, South America, Brazil, Indiana. We need churches planted. And thank God for our nation and our attempts to reach our nation. But folks, also, you know what? We need to not just be selfish and say we just need to reach America, because that's not the mandate given here. It ends, this verse ends. We're not completing the both mandate if we stop at the borders of the United States of America. And folks, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, this is the thought. This is the whole thought for tonight, okay? And then we're going to break up here in just a few minutes, and I'm going to give you a chance. I want you to have time to visit with our guests and get to know them and talk with them. And so I'm not going to go long. But here's the thing that I thought about this afternoon. And I was going to go on and preach on Elijah, and God said, no, do this instead. But folks, listen to me. You know, it's kind of neat that we have three of the four areas represented here tonight. You say three of the four, we just have two. Well, y'all are representing one of them. Thank you for caring about your Jerusalem. Bus workers, you know what? I don't say enough. And I mean this. Thank you for the sacrifice you make every single week of your life. And thank you for the bus ministry. Thank you for Operation Occupation and those of you that are faithfully out there just pecking away, knocking doors in the rural communities, in the rural areas. And you know what? Sometimes you'll get part of the map and you'll be following it. And next thing you know, you're between two cornfields and you're thinking, what in the world? Where am I? And how did I get here? And how do I get out of here? And then you think, well, there can't be anybody living down here. And you'll go around the corner and there will be. There'll be a trailer or a little shack or somebody that, hey, somebody that needs Jesus. You know, hey, I'm all for reaching everybody in the United States. And I'm all for, you know, planting more churches in our larger cities. Trust me, there's a need. But I sometimes want to stand up and plead to our young preachers. Don't walk past rural America. There's souls that need to be saved in rural America. There's a town of 5,000 people that need Jesus Christ. And you know, you've got your, you know, 30-mile circle with 60,000 people. Our 30-mile circle has 30,000 people. But you know what? They still need the Lord. They still need the Lord. And it sounds very much like our area, by the way. You think about it. Linton is our county seat. It's 5,500 people. And it's got small burgs like Jasonville scattered all around it. I'm excited. He's going to Greene County and he doesn't know it yet, you know. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Think about that. So I wanted to say quickly to our church, thank you for having a heart for your Jerusalem. It would be hypocritical for us to bring in these other missionaries, whether they're going to the United States, wherever they're going, and say, here, we'll pay you to go out and do what we won't do. And so, hey, let's keep a heart for souls. Let's keep a heart for the bus ministry. We just bought another bus. And thank you for those that showed up. Appreciate Brother Gordon overseeing that and getting that bus painted. It looks so good. The only bad thing about painting a new bus, it makes the other one start looking faded, you know. But if you look at our fleet, they look pretty good right now. And thank you for the extra work that you're... Hey, bus drivers, we couldn't do it without you. Thank you for going through. And now that, of course, the state's created all these extra hoops we got to jump through. You'd think the devil was involved in it and how hard it is to get somebody to get a license. But you know what? Many of you in the last few years have gotten a heart for it. You went out and you've got your CDL license. And thank you, bus workers. Thank you, teenagers. We've got a lot of teenagers that get up early every Sunday morning and come in and ride these different buses and sit down with those kids and get to know them and love them. And some of these young men, we call them puddle jumpers that, you know, get off the bus and run up to the house and knock on a door and make sure the kids get, hey, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for reaching your Jerusalem. And you know what? That's well represented tonight. You know what? You say, well, what about Southern Indiana? Why isn't it represented here tonight? Because these church planters out here are doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're preaching in their churches tonight. But they're out there. They're out there. And we thank God for each and every one of them. And then to have, you know, our Samaria represented. Let's not lose a burden for a reach in America. You know, Mark Orpshendek, you know, started the church there. You know Mark. And started the church there in Topeka, and we supported him for 2 years. And after 2 years, he sends a letter out and says, I think we can make it. We're stepping out a little bit by faith. And here he is. That thing's going and growing, and it's a blessing. And so he bailed out, and that freed up money for you. So you need to send Mark a thank you note about that. So it was no extra sacrifice. We just shifted it over on you, you know, so. I mean, we love you, but not all that much in any way. But I want to just keep, listen, folks, I just want to keep throwing some money at church planters in the United States. And you know what? I didn't invent that. I'm not the first one that felt that way. Thank you, church, for having a burden for America. And, we need to invest in these church planters. And so thank you for that. And then to have the Putnams kind of represent the uttermost for us here tonight. Isn't that neat? Think about that, folks. In our Jerusalem, let's get it done. Our Samaria, hey, there's young men from this church out there getting it done. And then, you know what? Our Samaria, our country, hey, here's a young man willing to go and get it done. And a good wife beside him. I don't say enough about the wives. Hey, I guarantee you, that man right there can't stay on the mission field and do what he's doing if it wasn't for that sweet lady right there. And you know what? We have to have help meets that are designed and understand and get it. And get it. Too many girls being raised selfish. Too many girls into drama. Too many divas. Hey, we need some young, biblical young ladies that will say, God, if you'll send me the right type of young man, he goes out to serve you wherever we go, I'll stand beside him and I'll do it. That's exciting. That's exciting. And to be able to see these four areas represented here tonight. So that's the message. But wait a minute. Maybe not. Maybe God's not done. That's the message. And those are the testimonies. But maybe God's not done. You know, because how shall they hear without a preacher? And folks, we do need to see God call more young men into the gospel ministry. And by the way, how can they go if we don't have the money to support them? And I want to challenge some of you that maybe you're not faithful to give to missions, or maybe you're not giving to missions at all. This is the type of night that I hope that God will stir something in your heart, because you're missing one of the greatest blessings that you could miss. And I don't imagine that's a lot of people, but you know what? I want to talk to every one of you that's drawing a paycheck. Are you putting your tithe in Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Are you putting your tithes and offerings into your local assembly? Are you bringing an extra thing for missions? And if you do, let me tell you what you can do. You can walk up and down Mission Hall and never have to feel guilty. Matter of fact, I won't have to convince you to stop and read letters. You'll want to stop and read letters. You know why? Because where your treasure is, come on, church, where your treasure is, what's there also? Your heart's there also. And so I don't know what God would do. It's not a matter of us just doing this to try to, you know what, maybe God will call somebody to preach. Maybe he'll call somebody to the mission field. Maybe somebody get called to go to a different part of this country and do something for God. Maybe it's a matter of God wanting you to stay right here in your home church, but you know what? I need to open up. Come on, I need to open up my wallet a little bit wider, and I need to invest a little bit more. Because folks, listen to me. All this stuff and all the things and all the toys, it's all going to burn up one of these days. And I'm not mad at anybody for having anything. And I've got to allow the Holy Spirit to direct you, and He will if you'll let Him. And I mean this. I'm not mad at anybody having anything. But sometimes I just wonder, is it always just the next thing? Is it always just the next thing for me or for us? Or is there a real burden, a real heart's desire to want to sacrifice in a tangible way and to teach our children to financially sacrifice so that we can impact these four areas? And so tonight, let's just keep doing both, okay? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts tonight. A little bit different type of a service, a little bit different type of a message. But Lord, I just feel like you're in it. You're all over it. Thank you for it. These young men sure encouraged the heart of this preacher. Lord, thank you. Thank you that they're still young men, willing to say, Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. Wherever you lead, I'll go. And Lord, thank you that they're still young ladies, that somewhere along there in their growing up years, they got to an altar and surrendered and just said, whatever, Lord, wherever, whatever. Thank you, Lord, for bringing these couples together, and Lord, preparing their hearts and their lives to do what they're doing now. And Lord, I sure love that they're here. I sure love just having them on the property. I'm thankful for the example they are to our young people. And so, Lord, bless the invitation and bless the time afterwards, Lord, as we have a little bit of time to fellowship. And, Lord, I pray, dear God, that our these two great families that are guests tonight, they'll leave encouraged here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name.